We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard, he flies and slams! Aerial assault from Judah Mintz!
Looking to go back door to Bell, they get it to a near corner three, knocks it down! Chris Bell, the sharpshooter!
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in! A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Syracuse somehow, someway holds on thanks to two great performances from two key role players. Johnny, I've got a pressing question on my mind. It has nothing to do with basketball right now. We'll get to it. And we'll also get to Notre Dame, which is also Jim Boeheim Day. He had some interesting quotables with Donna DeTota of Syracuse.com this week. And Draymond Green also has his opinions about Syracuse basketball. So all of that coming up on Red is the New Orange. Before we get into nuts and bolts, make sure to drop us a follow. F68_Cuse on Twitter. Catch up with Johnny at Johnny Gwitz. I'm at IUNZ_. And subscribe to the Field of 68 podcast network for every team and all the updates. Most of those teams in the Field of 68 podcast network are getting into March Madness. Syracuse, probably not, even though the broadcast on Tuesday tried its hardest to build this as a game with tournament implications. Johnny, I got one question for you.
Hit me.
It's got nothing to do with basketball, Syracuse, or anything else.
Okay.
Why is it that when you go to a bar and you order a cocktail in a can, say a High Noon, you know, it's a vodka soda.
Where are you going with this?
Okay, this has just been on my mind.
Jim. Okay.
You and I made plenty bar trips throughout our days at Syracuse, and this has been on my mind, mainly because I purchased a pack of these from the grocery store the other day. You purchase a pack of these canned cocktails, right? And it's less work for a bartender, right? All they have to do is pull it out of the fridge and give it to you.
Are you going to ask me about tipping culture in the United States?
No. Why is it that a High Noon costs more than a vodka soda when the bar and the bartender has to do less work?
That's a great question, and one that I don't have a definitive answer to. My guess is that High Noon has all of a sudden become like – well, I guess not all of a sudden. It's been this way for a while.
It's like now. The Dom Perignon of
They're very trendy. They're very trendy. They're on all this bar stool stuff. You see them advertised everywhere. So I guess they can get away with highway robbery when it comes to what they charge. It's crazy. You go to 7-Eleven to get a pack of High Noons, and it's $30. It's ridiculous. That's a great point by you, though, Ian. I've never really given too much thought to it, but now that I'm giving more thought to it, it is pretty preposterous, to say the least.
Yeah, the two establishments on either side of, what was it, Krause Street, I believe, robbed us for a few High Noons back in the day. All right.
If only we were that self-aware back in the day.
If it's pretty hard to be self-aware when you've already consumed a couple of libations. We're going to refocus, and we're going to dive into basketball. So, starting off with Syracuse and North Carolina State. You probably watched the game because, let's be honest, there's not a whole lot else to do on a Tuesday night. If you didn't hear the Cliff Notes, Chris Bell made 8 first half threes Judah Mintz, 4 of 13 from the field. And the big story, at the end of the game, Kwadir Copeland made the game-winning plays. Drew a flagrant one on DJ Burns, went to the free throw line, sunk him. In the last possession of the game, Kwadir Copeland, not Judah Mintz, had the ball in his hands, made a layup, and then on defense, put a really good contest on DJ Horn and prevented what could have been a game-tying shot or game-winning shot, I believe. So, Kwadir Copeland, crunch time player.
Yeah, Syracuse doesn't win this game without Kwadir Copeland. And all of a sudden, Ian, the number of games that that sentence applies to on the year for Syracuse is slowly but surely really starting to increase. I'd put the tally at maybe 5 or 6, maybe even more now, that if you take Copeland out of that game and his impact is nothing, Syracuse doesn't win the game. It's that simple. And yes, it was the Chris Bell first half. He came out firing like the best shooter on the planet, like any Syracuse fan knows at times he can be. But again, we're sitting there at halftime thinking, okay, this is too good to be true. Where else is this source of offense going to come from in the second half when the Orange are really going to need it? And sure enough, that answer was Kwadir. And game after game, and I know there have been a couple of lulls and a couple of duds, but when you zoom out on the whole, this guy has pieced together one heck of a season. And again, I brought up this point a couple of episodes ago. When you think about just from his mindset in the offseason, right? Judah's coming back, JJ's coming in, right? Let's not forget, Judah was thinking about draft. You didn't know if Starling was coming. It felt like Starling was coming. But for Kwadir to go from someone who maybe could have been a starting guard in the backcourt to now all of a sudden, okay, it's this two-headed monster of Judah and JJ. Where do I fit in?
And Kyle Cuff. And
Kyle
Western.
Cuff from Kansas, a big-time program. For him to persevere through that and not just crack the rotation, but crack the rotation in the way that he has and really been maybe the best two-way player that Syracuse has had all year, it's outstanding to say the least.
Let's go back through this schedule and pick out those Kwadir games. Think it really starts with Georgetown. Talk about second half impact. That's where we really saw him make a difference. And again, it started on the defensive end with a couple swipes and it turned into transition layups. Then it turned into half court offense. It continued into Oregon. Just scrolling down the schedule here. The Miami game, of course.
I was going to say, can't leave out Miami.
Can't forget the shot. And Louisville, too. I mean, it was a two-point game and big-time plays, again, down the stretch. So he's indispensable, especially with how Justin Taylor has struggled and become a non-factor this year. Kwadir Copeland is indispensable to your basketball team. And last year, he didn't have a role. Let's be clear. He has carved himself a role in what pretty much looks like the same offense that Syracuse ran last year, even though there are a couple sets now, a couple different wrinkles thrown in. You know, and when push comes to shove, it's iso ball, one-on-one. Let's get a bucket. And on defense, Kwadir's length looks good in a zone, but he's had the best transition, I'd argue, from zone to man defense of anyone on this team.
I think because his skill set is the best suited to take on both really darn efficiently. I'd even go back and throw the North Carolina win in there as well. Only had 8 points in that game, but three steals.
Key deflections. Key deflections.
Was pesky defensively all night long and doing his best to lock up RJ Davis and the rest of that Carolina backcourt. I think he has blown every Syracuse fan's expectations out of the water. And I don't think that's going too far. I think you can make the argument that he's the best player on this team, not named Judah Mintz. I won't go that far today, but I think there is definitely a conversation to be had there. And you can only hope that he finishes this regular season with as much oomph and as much pizzazz as he has over the course of the past couple months. Because let's be real, Ian, this team is not really going anywhere postseason-wise, right? I think everybody knows that. Even if they go 4-0 here down the home stretch and beat Clemson on the road and have momentum going into the tournament, they still would need a lot to shake their way. I know Jay Alter and Debbie Antonelli used the word bubble probably a heck of a lot more than either you or I would have guessed ahead of that NC State broadcast. But I digress. The point is, with four games left to go and not necessarily a whole lot up for grabs, you want to have something to be happy about. You want to have something to look forward to. Jim Boeheim Day is one of those things coming up this Saturday against Notre Dame. But watching your best players continue to grow and blossom and really step into their full potential right before our very eyes, that's what Copeland's done all year. And I hope for his sake, for Syracuse fans' sake, that growth only continues down the home stretch here.
And it's great to see him smile and be a goofball and be a prankster and talk trash and bring some fun and life on the court, not just off the court when he's jumping in a press conference or having some fun. That was a chug out of okay. For those of you listening on the podcast, Johnny just downed, tilted it back about a third of one of your one of your typical like plastic water bottles. All that talk about drinking, and here we are chugging. All right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But moving on to Chris Bell and the discourse that has followed this game. Bell was 8 of 9 in the first half from 3. Fantastic. He said that he came in to the PNC Arena, shot around in pregame, thought, hey, the rims are kind of soft here, and then didn't touch the rim in the first half with his threes. Career high, 26. I think it's a career high. Would I be right on that, Johnny?
It was certainly up there. I'll double check that real quick.
Career high in three-pointers made in a game.
Right.
For Chris Bell. And the Syracuse high is 9 by John Gillen. So Bell is really close to touching that.
One short, tying the most three-pointers made in a game in program history. I'm going to assume it's not a career high because I'd figure that if it was, that would be amongst the first couple lines of the box score on the Cuse.com recap. It is not. So take from that what you will.
Either way, he made a lot of threes. That's the only point we're trying to prove here. But he only took one in the second half because Kevin Keats, and again, I'd love to have a 30-minute podcast where we just rail on Kevin Keats because there have been so many questionable decisions. And in the first half, his team completely didn't play defense. They gave up 55, which is Syracuse's most points in a half. In the second half, Kevin Keats got so tired of watching Chris Bell make threes that he put 6'10 Mo Diarra on him. And Chris Bell did not get a single shot off. So now we get to the Draymond point. Draymond Green, if you don't have Twitter or if you just missed it because it was like a late night Tuesday, early Wednesday morning saga. Yeah, what's Draymond Green doing watching Syracuse basketball?
He must have better things to do, right?
Good for him.
Like, I love watching Syracuse basketball just as much as the next guy. Draymond Green, a three-time NBA champion or whatever the heck it is, must have something better to do on a random Tuesday.
The Warriors are not doing well right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got his own issues with the Warriors and, personally to attend to. All that being said, Draymond tweets that Chris Bell not having – I'm just summarizing here. I'm not reading verbatim. Pretty much Chris Bell not having any shot attempts in the second half is a travesty. Syracuse isn't running anything to get him looks or to free him up. And, if he was coaching college basketball, he would be feeding the ball to Bell every single time, and et cetera, et cetera. Pretty much trying to say that Red Autry was kind of missing the boat with the Chris Bell hot streak. So I agree with Draymond in a sense, and I also disagree. Let's lay out both here. Johnny, do you agree or disagree?
Agree with them. I think when you're hot, you're hot, and you got to keep feeding the hot hand. Obviously, Keats made his adjustments, but I think from a Syracuse coaching standpoint, you've got to do more to get Bell looks, right? Like draw up plays for him, run sets for him, and maybe I'd imagine your counter argument here, Ian, is going to be something to the effect of, okay, well, we haven't really seen him do it for a full 40 minutes. You're going to expect the regression anyway. So maybe you shy away from it just to kind of keep things fresh. But I don't know. I was disappointed to see those totals as low as they were in the second, considering how the first went.
That's not actually my counter argument, now that you bring it up. So you laid out the I agree with Draymond argument pretty well. And on first glance, if your visceral reaction reading that tweet is, yeah, why isn't Chris Bell getting more looks or doing more on offense? You totally have that right. However, let's play devil's advocate here and think about all the times we've seen Chris Bell successfully, A, make a decision with the basketball, or B, dribble the basketball for more than one or two bounces. Can't recall many. I mean, I flash back to the Duke game when he had a 2-on-1 in transition and dribbled the ball off his foot and out of bounds. That's not great. And Chris Bell might have the ultimate green light for Syracuse. But the thing is, when you have that mindset, you can't overthink it. You need to be making quick decisions, especially whether that's to shoot or to not shoot and recycle the ball and keep it moving. And you can't have your shooters, unless they're excellent in other facets of the game, coming off of ball screens and distributing and trying to do more things than just shoot. That's what Bell is, right? He's upping his effort level defensively. His rebounding is slowly getting better. And he acknowledged after the game that, hey, I didn't think I played all that well defensively. I missed a few, you know, backdoor cuts. I didn't check out DJ Burns as well as I thought I could have. All great points, and it shows that he's really rounding into form and maturing as a player. But I just don't think we can trust him to make all those decisions. Alan Griffin went on Q Sports Talk the next day and pretty much said the same exact thing in a very more coded way. You know, we're around these players more than Draymond is.
I would obviously hope.
Yeah. And, you know, it hit what his response was kind of like, we know them better and we've seen, you know, their skill sets and what they can
do. Yeah, all right. I
like, my point is Chris Bell is just not meant to be doing much more than shooting. He's really good at shooting, but he's just not going to give you much more. And that's okay.
I'm not going to push back on that a ton. I guess my rebuttal to that would be, when the heck else are you going to put the faith in him to make those decisions? Like, going into the halftime locker room, right? He's got to feel like he's on cloud nine and then some. And I just feel like to put a silencer on it, which is essentially what Syracuse did.
No, it's what NC State did by putting a big old dude on him, just going to stand like this and not let him shoot.
I guess, but there's got to be some adjustment there, right? Like, okay, just because NC State does that, now we're okay with shying away from the guy who just made 8 threes in a 20-minute span? I don't love that.
Well, it helps when Cordier Copeland is also pouring it in the second half. And what's Chris Bell doing at that point? He's keeping a big guy out of the paint. Diarra is NC State's best shot blocker, right? And so instead of him in there, you got big old DJ Burns, who's built like a bowling ball and has no sense of verticality whatsoever. That is a plus within itself. Even though it's not points, even though it's not in a box score, probably no one's going to tweet about it. Like, that is something positive for Syracuse. And so having that influence, having that draw of being a good shooter is enough for Chris Bell, even on his bad days.
Yeah, his impact goes beyond what the numbers tell you.
Yeah, and when you need two shooters for every guy that can't shoot, And right now, Chris Bell is the one shooter in Syracuse's lineup. Third point I want to hit on, Johnny, before we kind of move on here to Jim Boeheim Day and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We know Syracuse isn't great at rebounding. We don't have to hammer that dead horse. We know defensively they didn't play the greatest in the second half. But I think something that isn't really being talked about right now is how Malik Brown's defensive approach has changed. You've really been spot on about the lack of depth and how Syracuse has had some problems rebounding, right? And protecting the rim without size, without extra dudes to pick up fouls. Malik Brown is now starting to feel that pressure of being really Syracuse's only five because Munir Hima looks lost out there. Brown can't contest shots. He can't go for steals. And he can't take a chance on a rebound, especially on the offensive end, because he is so worried out there of drawing a foul, picking up two, picking up that third early in the second half. He is playing a ton of defense with his hands down. He can't do that, especially against bigger guys.
Yeah, he has, and the numbers show it. Yeah, I mean, you look at his last four games, he's picked up at least four fouls in three of those four games. A lot of them have been early, and particularly in a game like this one, where Judah Mintz got himself in foul trouble early on in the first half, that's a problem that I think hasn't necessarily hurt the Orange a ton yet. It hasn't reared its ugly head in the same way that maybe you thought it would have by now, when you hear about the Benny Williams dismissal. And it kind of is remarkable that they've gotten this long without that being a bigger talking point, and to their credit. But at the same token, yeah, I mean, these last four games, Malik's got to continue to do that. And it's unfortunate because, again, similar to the Kwadir point from when we opened up the show, right, the growth and the development and the getting better on a game-to-game basis, you almost feel like he can't run loose and run free as much as he should be able to because of those worries in the back of his head. And that's a shame, but you almost have to tip your cap to him because it's the unselfishness, right? It's that sacrifice of knowing, hey, I probably could go up and go out there and put up a double-double on almost a nightly basis, go get you 10 and 10, just like that. But am I okay with 8 and 6? If it means I'm going to play more minutes and keep my team in this basketball game, absolutely. So that shouldn't go unnoticed at all.
He still had 6, 5, and 6 assists as well.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic number. But DJ Burns didn't have a great first half and got going down the stretch because he took advantage of Brown's just, I wouldn't say passive nature on defense, but just the worries about fouling. Those are things to keep an eye out for going forward. Hopefully Kwadir can replicate that great performance against Notre Dame. We'll talk about the Fighting Irish in a bit after this quick break, and Rob taking us through some messages.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
It is Jim Boeheim Day in the Dome this Saturday. This is a ESPN noon game. Yeah, Syracuse and Notre Dame, noon on ESPN. It's also J.J. Starling's first bout with his old team, which is a different coach, Micah Shrewsbury, not Mike Bray, who's just decided to give up coaching basketball to spend his years in Florida. Don't blame him, Mike. You've made plenty of money and had some good success. So happy trails. Micah Shrewsbury, after losing seven straight in conference, has got his guys playing with a little bit of punch. I mean, three wins, two at home against Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. And then you go to the KFC Yum Center, worst arena name in basketball, and win by 22. I mean, that's not bad for a team whose best player is a freshman point guard.
First of all, I'd like to go back to your earlier point. I personally think the KFC Yum Center is amongst the top three names in the college basketball arena. I
mean, Louisville is just tragic, man, because their football stadium was named after Papa John's, and then some
acquisition. Well, it's all under one umbrella, right? The Pizza Hut, whatever that is, whatever the company.
They had to take the Papa John's name off because of all those rumors and accusations and things that were flying around about Papa John himself.
Right, right. Well, getting back to the hardwood. Yeah, Notre Dame playing better. But at the end of the day, Ian, I expect this to be a J.J. Starling game. I know it's not in South Bend, but I can only imagine the emotions and, you know, what sort of thoughts are going through his head in terms of wanting to stick it to his former team. And, I mean, let's not get it twisted. I know a three-game winning streak is going to push some momentum the Irish's way. This is still not a very good basketball team. 5-10 in the ACC, 2-7 in true road games this season. You can make the case they're the worst team in the ACC. I know they just beat Louisville by 22, but I think they're on a very comparable level. And I think you're getting a Syracuse squad that is, I don't know if figuring things out is the right phrase, but you're getting an Orange team that's feeling pretty good. They're going to have a lot of people in the building. Obviously, with it being the Boeheim Day, there's going to feel like there's a certain amount of buzz, a certain amount of energy. And when that dome gets rocking, it can be a scary place, particularly for a sub-500 team to come in and try to make something happen.
Yeah, and Syracuse has only lost in ACC play at home to Clemson. That was it. Beat BC, even though they lost on the road. Beat Pitt at home, even though they lost on the road. So the games against teams that are at their level or maybe a bit below their level, Syracuse can handle it. And I think the crowd should be good, not just because of the JJ storyline. Jim Boeheim Day is this Saturday. Honestly, we have no clue what it's going to entail. there'll probably be a presentation. I mean, Boeheim's name is already all over the place. Maybe they'll find another place to put it. But he'll be honored in many ways, shapes, or forms. Don't know if he'll be on the broadcast or not. Probably not.
I would imagine not. I would think he'll probably just soak it in. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, Donna DeTota wrote a really interesting article about how Jim loves doing the games. He loves being, you know, being a goofball with Corey Alexander and giving the coach's perspective to Wes Durham. And the other thing that struck me is that he said almost off the top that he's okay with not coaching anymore. He, after like about 10 minutes of practice, he's good to go. He doesn't need to see anymore.
That crew was on the Clemson game the other night too, if I'm not mistaken. Saw a picture surfacing social media of him catching up with Joe pregame, which I'm sure was obviously a very Joe Girard, of course, which I'm sure was obviously a really cool feeling for him as well, just to travel the ACC in obviously a different capacity.
Yeah, so he's still in like around Syracuse. Sometimes Red asks him for advice. Sometimes he's talking to FLJ about the women's team.
Right.
You know, he's fundraising for whatever NIL fund they're rolling with nowadays. And I'm sure he still is reading every single piece of news and listening to the radio 24/7, as he always did. But I think this is a good time. I think there's been enough space since the Boeheim retirement and kind of the, you know, the weird way it panned out. And to now where this is clearly Red Autry's team, right? There have been ups, there have been downs. And Jim Boeheim, all things considered, has done a great job of putting a bit of space in between himself and the current program. It won't feel like an overstep or a reach or anything interfering.
Especially when you consider, I mean, I know he's got his critics out there. The guy didn't have a farewell tour. And I'm not a big farewell tour guy. But I think if there was anyone who did maybe deserve it, when you think about how many years he put in and what he means to the Central New York community, especially when you consider just how weird it was down the home stretch, he never really had his moment. I know there was that regular season finale against Wake where he gave that sort of pseudo retirement speech that apparently nobody picked up on. But I think it will be cool for there to not be any speculation, for there to not be any sort of weird aura surrounding it all, and just a chance to recognize what he did over, obviously, a stupendous career.
Let's wrap up here on Notre Dame. Worst offense in the ACC, averaging about 62 points a game. Best player is Marcus Burton, 5'11", 166-pound point guard. I think the last time we referenced a guy like this, it was, what, Taj Stavesky of Canisius?
Yep.
Am I remembering that right? I don't think he had a great game. So if Syracuse shuts down Burton, who is the only go-to guy, quote-unquote, and Braden Shrewsbury, the coach's son, who can really shoot it well, I don't think things should be much of a problem. Notre Dame plays a slow pace, and again, their defense might be all right, but I think Syracuse can run it up and down and really get the better of them. Not too concerned, if we're being completely honest.
I don't disagree, and I'll give you one key here, as we tend to sort of do here down the home stretch of these. I think, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, hot start, right? A lot of people in the building, energy is going to be high, don't come out flat, right? And whether that means Judah getting to the line, Chris Bell knocking down a couple of shots, or just getting out in transition and trying to use the tempo to your advantage, just do whatever you got to do to, I don't know, try to open up the game on a 15-5 run or something like that and take it from there.
Syracuse is projected to win the game by 8 on KenPom. Knock on some wood right there. And there are only 4 more regular season games left for the Orange. And they're not going to vault back on the bubble unless something miraculous happens. So quell your frustrations, your dreams there. And let's just appreciate Saturday for what it is. It's Syracuse back at home. It's J.J. Starling's Duke against his former team, and it's Jim Boeheim Day. So hopefully you enjoy it if you're there, whether you're watching on TV, and you're questioning why a high noon costs $9 at the bar. Either way, enjoy your weekend. 12 o'clock tip on ESPN. As always, we'll be back on Monday to recap that and preview what Syracuse has coming up next. That is Virginia Tech on Tuesday. So we'll catch you then. Ian Unsworth, Johnny Gadamwitz, signing off. Enjoy your weekend, and go Orange.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.